down his opening words. I'm going to go ahead and do some opening words, and he'll be on later with his State of the Church. So at this point, I'm now declaring the meeting come to order, and Deborah Boyd has agreed to light the chalice for us. I'm going to read a small piece to get us in the mood. And Stand by this faith from Olympia Brown. Stand by this faith, work for it, and sacrifice for it. Am I okay to do opening words? You had opening words planned. Okay, I'm going to continue with opening words, and Mark's going to do what he wants to do. Okay. We were pattering till ready. Stand by this faith. I'm going to start again. Stand by this faith, work for it, and sacrifice for it. There is nothing in all the world so important as to be loyal to this faith, which has placed before us the loftiest ideals, which has comforted us in sorrow, strengthened us for noble duty, and made the world beautiful. Do not demand immediate results, but rejoice that we are worthy to be entrusted with this great message, that you are strong enough to work for a great true principle without counting the cost. Go on finding every new applications of these truths and new enjoyments in their contemplation, always trusting in the one God which ever lives and loves.
I'm aware that meetings of the congregation occur after the service on Sunday, and that the most I've ever seen here is maybe 120. 150, 120, 130. And I look at the service and I look at the choir singing and so forth. That's more invitatory to people very often. But I'd like to suggest something else with this poem. I just found this poem this morning and I'm in love with it already. And it's by a man named Lawrence Robb. It's called Sunday. And it's got a quotation in the front from, at the top, from Wallace Stevens. So that's life then? Things as they are? Once there was music that could tear your heart open and heal it before you took another breath. That was what art could do. Kings and princes, bishops and popes all knew this, as they knew how to get what they wanted and keep what they had. Mostly what happens to people doesn't happen by chance. You spend your life in the mud, you eat the same thin soup each night, and then on Sunday, 1,000 angels start to sing. The walls are ablaze with suffering and forgiveness. And you think this is what you'll see when you die. When you yearn, this is what you yearn for. Or something like it, the version you've been told you can afford. They were smart to keep belief and understanding at a distance. Go for the big effects. Everything you get when you're through with this world, the one you got stuck with, potatoes and soup, the morning and the afternoon, and the evening, things just as they are. Things are just as they are, and the work of the church, the business of the church, the connections of the church may not seem like great art to people and stunning choral celebrations, but this is life, and this is the life of the church.
Thank you. Again, a formal welcome to you all. We did get quite a few people here. I expected fewer, to be honest. It's a lovely day, and we had a busy church morning. However, my understanding is we do not have a quorum, so there's only one voting item here, and that was to approve the minutes. So we are going to be able to, you can look at the minutes and review them, and we'll actually vote on their approval at the congregational meeting in June. At this point, I'll turn the microphone over to our board chair, Rich Menick, who has a report for you.
Good morning. Good afternoon. You're right. Thank you all for taking time out of this first of the beautiful, many, I hope, beautiful Sunday afternoons we're going to enjoy. Thank you for taking time out for the business of the church. Most of the items that might have been included in a board chair report are already on the agenda, so there's no need for me to mention them here. But I do want to add a few things about the work that the board is currently doing. The board continues to focus much of its attention on longer range and strategic topics. With so much going on in our church, maintaining that focus continues to be a challenge because it's easy to be swept away in all of the everyday and familiar things that go on here. But we remind ourselves that we are blessed with a very capable staff and a cadre of volunteers who can handle many of the things that the board might handle in a smaller church. Over the last 8 months, the board has worked on developing board goals, which will help us focus our efforts in the future. Of the many possibilities that we've discussed, we've selected four topic areas, which we're now working to better define. The topic areas are safety. We'll look into how we can prepare for possible instances of medical emergencies, natural or man-made disasters, or hopefully never, but possible acts of violence. Strategic planning. We're putting in place a process to identify and articulate the priorities and recommend actions essential to the long-term health of First UU Church. And there will be a presentation by the Strategic Planning Committee in a few minutes. Third item of area of focus is social justice. We will review how our social justice work supports our mission and vision. And we'll examine what a church-wide commitment to social justice might look like in the context of that vision. And finally, and of course important, and yet the thing we don't like to talk about, is revenue. We want to look to explore ways to increase our revenue. Our overall goal is to get beyond the point where we're worried each year about how we get enough money to meet our daily operations, and reach the point where we can focus our energy on how to use resources for sustained growth and outreach. One of our board members continues to refer this as to moving to an attitude of abundance, from an attitude of scarcity to an attitude of abundance. Work is going on to turn these board goals into action plans, and we're also going to put into place a process for ongoing review of these goals, adjustments if necessary, and to identify and prioritize new goals as needed. This is the exciting and exhausting work of maintaining our beloved community. If you're not already doing so, I hope you will join us in this work by attending some of the excellent training being offered by Leadership Development and then considering what role you might play in church leadership. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. And we appreciate everybody staying who's going to be at the microphone today to stay within their time limits, and they all know that, but I just thought I'd mention it at this point. So welcome back to the microphone, please, Reverend Bellatini, who has a State of the Church set of comments for us.
I'll try not to cover the things that Rich covered, and I want to thank Rich for being a most excellent board chair. It's been really, really wonderful to work with. I want to start off this report by talking a bit about myself. I want to thank the congregation for being so gracious with me as I have faced several family crises in the last 2 years especially, but more recently, the last 3 months. With my mother's journey in and out of hospitals, in and out of health crises, and with a few health issues of my own to deal with. I never knew physicians could be divided into so many specialties. And it's really quite amazing to have to negotiate all this stuff out. I've been dealing with these issues. They are not serious. I'm not going to put any worry on your heart. But things go with being 61, as far as I can figure out. But you need to know that the trustworthiness of the staff and the volunteers have made it possible for me to spell my sister every once in a while, which only seems fair. considering that everything is on her plate, and I'm way down here. So I thank you for the graciousness that allows me to do that 3 or 4 days now and then up in Michigan. It saps my energy, I'm not going to lie about it, to go back and forth, to be in two different places. And it confuses me sometimes. But for the most part, I've been much more successful at self-care this year in the midst of all this than not. So I'm happy about that. The year seems to be going along in a very rich way. Let me look at some concrete things, like in the building. First of all, if you have not been to the library, you should go. It's been changed. It's been painted. That strange little wire that comes down is gone. The books have been culled. Things are being prepared for what's next in the library. Some of you have met there. Slaughter Lounge is looking pretty spiffy with the new furniture, the new lamps. There's going to be some more changes, a new painting. Things are going to look really, really well. Some things are going to be moved around. The whole thing is going to work together exquisitely, and it's really wonderful. And as in the last couple of years, if you're not here several nights a week, you don't know that the dance floor, this sprung dance floor that we had the wisdom to put in when we got rid of the steps in the center of the fellowship hall, is still considered one of the best places to dance in the city, and we are just dancing day and night in that place. It's really, I have no idea how a floor like that survives all the commotion, but it seems to be doing pretty well. And I hope that some of you have noticed the mission statement in teal letters up on the entrance when you come in. There's going to be a small adjustment to the first three words this coming week, I believe, but they'll be a little bit larger. But it's quite beautiful, and it's an elegant thing for people to see when they come in. It's a nice welcome, a welcome that's not just a warm handshake, but it lets people know something about what we're about immediately and elegantly. Things have changed here in the worship center as well. The new cabinet where we store things changes the focus on Sunday morning. The plant crew, and we have an amazing plant crew, went through and thinned out all of the plants, got rid of things that were kind of falling apart and yellowing and dying and whatever, and got some better pots, and so things are looking well there. And we're beginning to look at things like the light. So this is a longer-term plan, but you might want to just stop for a moment and think how you would change one of these light bulbs. And the only thing you can think of, I'm sure, involves precariousness of such fearfulness that you can understand why we're thinking of trying to figure out what else we could do around this. It's a nice architectural feature to have the high ceiling, but on the other hand, broken backs are not pleasant. And that's what I think of whenever I think about changing these light bulbs. So those are things just at the beginning of people thinking about what we need to do. And you'll also hear people talking about the fact that this building is, God help us, old now. It's still the new building for many people because many people still have the scent of the new carpet in their nose from when they first came in here. I know some people in the choir, I think, sang here before anything was in here, and there was the smell of fresh paint, I've heard. Well, it's old now, 1993, and things are wearing out, and so we have to think about those kinds of things if we're going to be serious about using this space and how it connects to the other space, which is even older. You'll be hearing about this as time goes on. The membership team this year has done some significant revisions to our process, which have been very successful, paving a clear and wide path for those who are seeking to join us. And as those of you who were here this morning heard, a religious education program is in the structure, restructuring, the first year of a three-year program that really thrills me with its vision. It's complex and rich and involved and right on. And I'm really, really happy. It takes an awful lot of organizational work, and it's been wonderful for me to see how successful it's been so far and how much energy there is for this. I wanted to say, Jalinda is getting some credentialing, and she had me read a paper that she had to bring to the credentialing body, kind of like their equivalent of the fellowship committee. And I said to her after I read it, I said, when I was sitting on the fellowship committee, we had to read four essays from every student who came before us, and few of them were as good as this one, as far as overview, theology, organizational sense, all that stuff. So I'm really proud to have Jalinda doing this work, but also enriching her own life. And she and I and Eric actually had a wonderful, and Brian too, had a wonderful time with Bell Hooks at the campus this year, enriching our lives, spending 2 days with the great Bell Hooks to talk about spirituality, feminism, and African-American issues. It was really quite wonderful. So I think we have a very good team right now. I'm very, very happy with the way we move together, get along, communicate, and support each other. And it's very strong right now, and that feels very, very good on the inside. I've been out in the community a lot this year. Diversity Exchange Program, Metropolitan Club, teaching at various universities on Unitarian Universalism or on GLBT issues. The Racial Diversity Task Force has helped us to bring our name out into the world, both at services here. One is coming on March 13th, but there was one at the beginning of the year around that burning the Quran thing, the big service down at First Congregational. And we've clearly gained an appreciation throughout the city as people with real interfaith credentials as well as social justice credentials. And the Muslim community is especially moved by how we move through the world and talk about things. And that's good to, you know, good to hear. The staff changes, Brandon doing the Chalice Choir at 11 o'clock. Has been wonderful to work with, a total delight. And Brian has been a total delight to work with. Even when he was working part-time, he was getting a lot more done than some previous administrators, actually, just because of his organizational skills and so forth. So this has been a benefit to the whole congregation. And Dick Dawson has changed this church completely in so many ways by his ministry, his chaplaincy here. And we're beginning to look at how that work can continue since he's not going to do this for the next 70 years. But the work needs to be done for the next 70 years. And so we're beginning to look at ways of how that can continue. We're looking at things like how to take the membership committee to the next level, which means volunteer recruitment and organizational stuff. People have talked over the years about having a volunteer coordinator. I don't think it's going to work that way necessarily, but that work has to be done too. We have to figure out how to do it. And the people getting members into the congregation and adjusted can't do all of that too. So there's got to be some brainstorming around that. Be involved if you can. I'd love to see us much more involved with our partner church in Bulun in Transylvania. And I need to do more work around that too, bringing it into the service, if not every Sunday, then at least every other Sunday, to remind us, because otherwise it's forgotten. Transylvania is very far away. And they have worse weather than we do, believe me. And I can see a trip coming up, hopefully. And I'm hoping that we can do more eventually. I think Jolynn is working on this with our college ministry. I haven't been able to go this year. They meet on Mondays. That's my day off. I'm just not going to give my day off up. I'm sorry. but they meet on Mondays. Jolinda's gone a few times. Other people have gone a few times. But I would love this congregation to have a very strong ministry on the campus, it being the largest campus in the country for the most part. The Texans disagree, but they disagree about everything. You need to know that our two ordained and excellent ministers working as chaplains outside the congregation, Kathleen Fowler and Susan McChrystal, will still need to have a few folks serving on their committee. So if you're asked, please consider doing that. I might ask you, they might ask you, but there's all kinds of opportunity for working on the ministry level of this congregation. They have things to do for their credentialing, and that involves us. There are five folks in the congregation attending Methesco right now. Some of you may not know that. That's the Methodist Seminary. They're actually going to try and put a UU track in. There's so many of us. We meet together along with Kathleen and Susan and Dick Dawson. We meet together regularly. That's a very great ministry of the church that's invisible, I think. But I think that's important. I still dream of an intern, and I will just bring that up every once in a while, and I know that involves money, but as Rich said, you know, it'd be nice to be able to one day not have to worry about how to repair the roof or where the money is going to come from, but how we can give a raise to the intern. I would love to be able to see that someday. We have no office space for the intern, not a problem. We can figure things like that out. We're very smart. So, okay? Thank you very much. Bye.
I just found out we do have a quorum, but we didn't bring copies of the minutes because we weren't expecting that. So we will do the vote on the next meeting on the minutes, the last meeting. Y'all have that down? First of all, and also thank you to Reverend Mark. It was an excellent report. This is a brimming with excitement place. And I failed to mention a procedural item, and that is, even though we're on a tight schedule and we started late, I know we want to keep these short. But if you do have a question, please don't hesitate to ask it. If there are too many questions, I know how to step in and say that's enough and take it offline. But certainly, if you have a good question for the good of the order, let's bring it up. We've had two speakers thus far. Carl Falstick has a runner handheld microphone here, so if you have a question, raise before the people leave the podium, these upcoming reports, raise your hand and I will make sure you get noticed. We also have a stand-up microphone up here. If you have no questions, that's great. We'll go a little faster. So back to our agenda. We have a presentation of a check now, our holiday appeal check. And Gretchen and Patricia, are you both coming up or just... Bill Owens, hi, welcome.
Love your tie. That one tie.
We are not a very well-coordinated team, but I'm going to ask Patricia to talk about what we set out to do in this holiday appeal to begin to change it to what we would like it to be.
We'd like to move away from having the holiday appeal support our operating budget and having it move toward outreach for the community in the spirit of the season. So this year, we were not able to give everything away, but we were able to raise a substantial sum to go to the Clintonville Resource Center due to people's generosity here.
And we weren't sure exactly where that generosity would take us. We did say that the first $1,000 would go to the Clintonville Community Resource Center, and then half of everything over $15,000. Half of everything over $16,000, I guess, because we had to get $15,000 out of it first. So I would like to present to Bill Owens a check from First UU for $2,124.
Thank you very much. Thank you. that's excellent. This will go to help our work here in the neighborhood. Just to let you know briefly, and I'm not known for being brief, is that we have three primary programs. We have family services that helps those households in the neighborhood that are struggling. Over the past year, one statistic that reflects the times is that in 2009 we were serving a little over 1,000 households and a little over 2,000 individuals. And over the same period of time in 2010, we increased the number of individuals by 66%, that is 4,000 individuals. But the number of households only went up by 2%, which we knew anecdotally was our families in the neighborhood combining households, that is people that are related and people that aren't related, having to combine their households to be able to get by. So it's a struggle to help them, and certainly they have the largest struggle in keeping their households together and getting by. So this goes a long way to help us with that. Here in 43214, which is where we are right now, we are in the zip code in Franklin County that has the highest percentage of people age 65 and older of any zip code in Franklin County. It's a nice neighborhood, so people stay, and people stay, and it's a nice neighborhood. And so we're here to help them to be able to live safely in their own homes. So that's our senior services program. Our kids club program, like all neighborhoods, we have children here, and we have about 50 kids every day in our after school program that's housed in Clinton Heights Lutheran Church across the street from Clinton Elementary School. In the summertime, it's an 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. program with about the same number of children. If you all could hold in your hearts our staff this week, one of our staff people died Thursday morning, Regina Peterson. She was one of our staff that worked with the Kids Club program, and she was only 49 years old. So it was a great shock for us, and there's a funeral service this afternoon for her. We have our kinship care program that helps those people that are raising their relatives' children. Oftentimes that's grandparents raising their grandchildren, and we do that program countywide. But most of our programs are centered here in the Clintonville Beachwald neighborhood because that's our charge. That's our job, is to focus on the needs of this neighborhood. So in addition to that, we do a summer lunch program where this past summer we had five different sites. The site that was most exciting for us was at the mosque on Riverview Drive. thank you. again, thank you very much for your help.
And I didn't want to chase him away all that fast. He has brochures if people are interested, and particularly they are open to people interested in volunteering. So if you have some interest that way, please explore.
Along those lines, if I could add just one more.
Okay.
We have an AmeriCorps Vista worker who she sends out a weekly email that tells about different volunteer needs and things that individual families and folks need through the center. So if you contact me via email that's in this brochure, we'll get you on that.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay. I should say, are there any quick questions from the room? Thank you so much, and welcome again. Well, we do have a question. Okay, Bill Fullerton. Please speak into the mic if you can.
I believe that I'd like the membership to know that this is in addition to the $1,000 that has been allocated through the Social Justice Committee's budget. So I just wanted to make that clear. This is an addition to that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And thank you again, Bill, for visiting our church. May I ask, Gretchen, as a point of order, can you get maybe put something in the newsletter with that website that he said we could go to? And that way we wouldn't have to be all calling him at one time if we want to volunteer. Thank you. I think that'd be an appropriate use. Okay. At this time, we'll be seeing Patricia again in a moment, but right now we have our report on church finances with Ms. Deborah Boyd.
Treasurer extraordinaire.
And when you do the job twice, you should be able to do it hopefully reasonably well the second time around. I do have copies of the short version of our finances. I did not bring enough for everybody because there are only about 10 people who actually like to look at it, and they're most welcome to it, as well as the detailed version. The brief synopsis for the community at large is, first, thank you for the holiday appeal. You got to witness what we were able to do through the generosity of all of the members and friends who came forward and not only contributed to the holiday appeal, but did it in a way that exceeded what was needed for the operating fund and enabled us to do outreach to the Clintonville Community Resource Center. So thank you for that. My next piece of the financial business is to say thank you for stepping up. Patricia put forth in the newsletter back in November, December that our pledge contribution rate wasn't quite what it has historically been, and Finance Committee was starting to get a little nervous, and you all more than came through. We are totally back to where we have historically kept that number, the percent of contributions versus pledges being made, and that is also thanks and due to your generosity. Three last quick things, one of which is Kroger has the rewards program. We put money in the budget that Kroger would be donating to us, and they have been, to the tune of about $700 a quarter, which is great, except that's about half of what we budgeted. So please consider going to the Kroger website and getting your Kroger card set up, because it costs you nothing but the 2 minutes that it takes to get your Kroger card set up so that they send the contributions to the congregation. There will be more information about that coming up in the newsletter, and there will also hopefully be some information coming out in Fellowship Hall. And we're looking for ways to make that even easier and more accessible for you so that it takes even less than 2 minutes so that you can support this congregation. Last is, I'm not going to steal too much of Patricia's thunder, but because I was trained and was grateful to be there, we do have a canvas coming up, and it is in part going to be a face-to-face canvas, and we got some great training from the district executive, Joan Van Biesler. So with that, I think I managed to pull that off in 3 minutes, which leaves me 2 minutes if people have questions. Wow. I guess I do get better with practice.
Let me ask, though, Deborah, do you want to put those sheets in the back table? I mean, where do you want, or just approach you? If they want a copy, just come in. You know what Deborah looks like. Okay. Thank you very much. And very tightly tied to that, the annual budget drive, and we'll have Patricia and Carrie come up here for their 5 minutes. We're actually catching up on time, but keep that up.
Why do people give to our congregation? One is we believe in our mission and vision, and we want to be part of it. Out of a sense of gratitude for all we have in life, to add meaning to our lives, and also, very importantly, people give because someone asks. The annual stewardship drive is an opportunity to support what we love, a chance to change lives, a chance to express our commitment to our congregation on many levels, including financial. Many congregations do their pledge drive using face-to-face visits, and they find this very beneficial. So these stewardship visits are a vehicle for in-depth conversations, including relationship building, questions and answers. We're working with the Strategic Planning Committee, and they helped us come up with questions that we want to ask our congregants during these visits. That we're looking for feedback, positive recommendations, and dreams for the future of our congregation that can be taken to the board and leadership. And then, also as a part of these visits, people will be given an opportunity to consider what they want, how they can invest in these dreams. Let's see. We're fortunate to have over 20 wonderful stewards to help conduct these visits. And while we don't have the resources to talk to everyone in the congregation, we hope this to be a great start to build on and we'll continue this every year because people give to people.
Thank you, Patricia. My name is Carrie McDonald. I'm chair of the annual budget drive. And following that very nice framing for what we're trying to do this year, which I think is very much the next step of better connecting our giving and stewardship process to the meaning and the vision and the mission of this church. And so being able to talk with folks one-on-one is something that we've done in this church in the past. And then we think that connecting those things so immediately and so viscerally will be really positive for this church. So operationally, we will be kicking off the budget drive on March 6th. As in years past, we have a visiting minister who will be preaching the sermon that day, and that'll be the Reverend Kelly Flood. If you don't know her, she's wonderful. She's the Vice President for Development of Star King School of Ministry, one of our two UU seminaries. She's also an elected representative in Lexington, Kentucky, where she lives with her family. So she'll be here on March 6th. We'll be asking folks to fill out their financial pledge and membership form in the coming month and turn that in by Sunday, April 3rd. This is a new form from last year. We tried to slim it down a little, but two things that I want to point out. One is that automatic withdrawal from the checking account, from your checking account is our preferred way of receiving pledges. It makes it easier on finance to do their budgeting, and it also doesn't cost us anything. So we're urging folks to switch to that if that's an option for you. And second is that we've added a recommended giving chart, and we made no assumptions about the limits of your generosity, which is why it goes up to adjusted income of $500,000 at a 10% annual giving rate. But really, this church has set 5% of your adjusted income after tax as what we think to be a reasonable goal and a healthy thing to aspire to for our members. So as Patricia said, we have about a little over 20 stewards. We hope to talk to about 100 people or so this year. If you, we're trying to get a good cross-section of the congregation, but if you are interested in visiting or having a steward visit you, please let us know. If you're interested in being a steward, we could also make sure that you get the training and resources you need. If you just want to participate in the what we're calling appreciative inquiry process with these questions to give that information to the strategic planning committee, you can also do that without a steward visit. We'll have those forms so you could fill out on your own. So we'll be sending out a letter laying out all this following the auction in advance of the budget drive. If you could turn in your form by April 3rd, we'll have a prize drawing. That's our incentive. So look for those stewards and look for the budget drive coming up soon. Questions? Did you call on people? Deborah?
Carrie, you said that the board had made a request of 5% of your adjusted annual gross income after tax. Having been on the board that actually voted on that, I'm pretty sure that you meant it was 5% before tax.
Yes, thank you for that correction, Deborah.
I also want to say there are many members that give at this rate, and while it may involve sacrifices, a lot of people feel it's very beneficial and a great way to live their values, so we are asking everyone to continue to explore giving at this rate.
I don't know how to exactly word this in a small number of words, but there's an economic disaster out there in the world, lots of uncertainties and everything else, but it sounds like your approach to the budgeting is not taking that into account. I haven't heard anything, like for example, uncertainty hasn't been mentioned. Do you think that how do you take that into account if you do? And if you don't, why haven't you?
So the question was, due to the economy and financial uncertainty. We want everyone to know that our church is always going to be there. Our congregation will always be there for them, no matter what else happens. And it's true, there may be some financial uncertainty that people are facing. If that's the case, they should pledge what's realistic for them. And if anything happens, please come to us and let us know. And we understand that that can happen. But for those of people who say that an investment in First UU is very important to them, please, we encourage their generosity. But again, if anything happens, please let us know. We want you to know that we're there for you.
And thank you for that. And that's actually, we even say that on the frequently asked questions that's on the back of the pledge form. Let me also just say that, you know, if you read about why people give and what's an effective way to ask people to give their support, you know, people don't give because of just the raw financial transaction. They give as a form of spiritual practice. They give because it is a way to live out your values. And you can do that at any giving level. You know, we have people in this church who pledge a couple dollars a month, and, you know, and that's a lot for them. And it carries all the meaning that someone who maybe pledges $1,000 a month would have, because it's about their connection to the church and how they can invest in a community that also invests in them. So I think that's part of our goal, is to shift away from talking about, you know, the narrow economics of it to make sure we understand as a community how stewardship fits in with growing and supporting our church.
Carrie, and I think the name for what you just said, and that we keep trying to raise this name up, is contribution of record. That's the concept that came in soon after the 5% ask. And I think that's in more detail, and I can talk with you afterwards, Robert. That's the answer to his question, contribution of record.
Are there any additional questions from the floor? Thank you. Excellent. Excellent report from everybody so far. I shouldn't just single them out. At this time, Personnel Committee and Judy Kleene is heading up the steps with Reverend Mark.
The Personnel Committee is in a better shape than it has been in about 4 million years. And it has to do with this woman and her team. So I wanted to say that a lot of other things have changed and have been developing and growing in the last couple of years, but especially in the last year. But this has been a very, very significant change, and the clarity is clarity of forms, of ideas, just wonderful. So
That didn't make it any easier, but thank you, Mark. I'm Judy Kleene, and I'm the chair of the Personnel Committee this year. And I want to tell you, this is a committee that is appointed by the board because it deals with some confidential and difficult, sometimes and sometimes wonderful, issues. I want to tell you the other members of the committee, Kevin O'Neill, Betsy Duckworth, and Carol Buomalski, make up the rest of the committee. And this year we have dealt with some process issues and with some specific personnel-related issues, and I just wanted to fill you in a little bit what we've been doing. Most recently, we are completing a review of all the job descriptions of all our employees here at the church, and that is part of an evaluation process that we're basically resurrecting. This has not happened for the last 3 or 4 years. We have developed an evaluation tool to use, a process of supervisors, first of all, outlining who is whose supervisor, and we have developed a draft organizational chart to show that. And then working with the supervisors, we've just kicked off that process to work with the supervisors to meet with all of our staff, encourage them to be very participatory in this process. This is a way to recognize the value of our staff, to gain new ideas from our staff, and to open the communication with our staff. And so we're excited that we're not only going to kick off this process. We're going to institutionalize this process so that it will happen year after year without having to form a new committee and reinvent the wheel. And as I say, we've just started. We expect this to be completed about the end of March. While our supervisors are working on that, we are going to update the church personnel policy manual, which has not been updated for a number of years. And what we're actually doing is not particularly necessarily consistent with what the policy says. For instance, in the area of benefits, what we're doing isn't what the policy says, and we're not even necessarily doing it consistently among our various employees. So one of the things we want to do is sort that out, come up with a consistent and appropriate menu of benefits for our wonderful staff here. One of the things that we already have done this year had to do with the hiring of a church administrator. And let me give you just a little bit of background on that. We instituted the administrator position maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And we have had three different individuals in that position. The last one left in June. And that's quite a lot of turnover for one for 6 years and one position. So the board decided to take a small step back and did two things, engaged Brian Hageman as our temporary part-time administrator just to kind of keep things together, and also developed a series of listening sessions and meeting with interested members of the community on their thoughts about a church administrator, what good things had come from that position, what issues might have been raised, and develop kind of a new and updated plan. At the same time, the personnel committee worked on a revised job description to go along with an updated plan. It became clear along the way that Brian was doing a great job. And we had not planned to do the hiring in this manner, but it ended up being a wonderful opportunity for the church. The board asked the personnel committee to evaluate how would this be if we changed course a little bit and ended up hiring one of our church members. Brian's been a member for about 4 years. The personnel committee and the board discussed this at length at several meetings. There are pros and cons to hiring a member. We have lots of church members who have been staff both currently and in the past. Tony McDonald, Myra, Les, we've had church office folks who have been members. It's wonderful because they know who we are, they know how we work, they know that they that we're a cooperative kind of environment between volunteers and paid staff. It can be difficult if something happens, if the budget forces us to lay somebody off, or if they become ill, or lots of things can happen, and it becomes difficult if they're a member of the church. So the board and the personnel committee have struggled with this issue. We discussed it at length. The personnel manual does not contain any policy, one way or the other, related to hiring church members. The conclusion that we came to was that Brian is doing a terrific job for us. We have not had good luck in hiring outsiders into this position, so maybe it's time to change course a little bit and go with a known quantity. And we're just delighted that Brian accepted our offer as of January 1st and is now our full-time church administrator. So I would be happy to answer any questions.
As one of those people who has experienced it from both sides now, I'm very excited to hear this kind of clarity happening. One other little piece. We've tended to use the term interim for people other than ministers and then gone ahead and hired them. And believe me, I am as excited about Brian as perhaps not as much as the people who work with him, but I'm pretty darn excited. Can we clarify that in some way for people so that we're not calling someone an interim, which when it's used with a minister, that person cannot be called. And then we've used interim a number of times with people that we have turned around and hired as acting. And maybe I'm the only one that's confused by it. If that's so, never mind. But it has concerned me that we keep doing that.
Sure, that's a good point, and maybe temporary would be the right word to use when we're dealing with a staff member in that capacity. Great, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Judy. And I agree with Mark. When I was board chair, it was just, and we had a wonderful personnel committee, but it's just difficult to, so many legal things and things that, you know, those of us who come for music and things like that, it's very difficult to get our arms around that. So thank you to those who commit to this, these kinds of tasks. Okay, it's party time, Joanne.
Well, hi. This is my beginning 20th year in this church, and I've had many posts, but I think being the auction chair and co-chair is probably among my most funnest. So I just want, I can't say much more than what all of our little skits that we've been allowed to do to let you know the kind of things that we need for the auction. Right now, we still need people to bring baked goods as well as some items for our buffet table, and that will help us so that everybody can get enough food and not go away feeling hungry. We're great with the items, and don't be surprised if because we have so many, we end up, nobody ever wanted to do a rummage sale anymore, and I've been chair of that too, but we may end up having a spring or summer rummage sale if we don't sell everything in our after sales that happen in February and early March. So we are on task and on schedule, and I just want to thank the great members of the committee and our resident writer, Ms. Kathy O'Neill, because she keeps us on our toes, and she really helps to bring to you the kind of things that we need in a fun and humorous manner. So thank you, and we'll all see you on Saturday night. And we know that you youths tend to be procrastinators, and so that's why we have people outside the door to get your ticket so that you can still pay at the $12 rate, but we'll be happy to take your $15 on Saturday night. Thank you.
Were there any questions for Joanne? Okay, thank you to Joanne and the team for your work as well. We're all seeing RDTF spelled out a lot these days, and this is the Racial Diversity Task Force, which is, well, we'll hear more about it from Lori and the excellent work.
Thank you. I am not my better half. He is in India right now, so you're stuck with me. Just to refresh your memories, the Racial Diversity Task Force was commissioned by you all in June of 2009 for a two-year period. We are drawing to the end of that two-year interval and beginning really brainstorming about what we're going to look like if we're going to exist 2 years hence. We have accomplished a number of things, number one of which is getting ourselves as UUs into the Metropolitan Area Council churches. I think I said that right. I'm always mixing up the C's. But we are not voting members in that body, but we are the first non-professing, Christ-professing congregation to be in that group, which puts us in a little bit of a unique light. But they have commitments to quarterly racial unity services, the next one of which is here on March the 13th, and I'll have some flyers I'll leave out in the back. We need to turn out UUs in good number, show how good we are as hosts and how committed we are as part of our vision to being transforming as far as racial justice in our community and in the world. Mark kindly alluded to the other things that we had done, the 9/11 service, the solidarity event, bringing together our Muslim brothers and sisters and saying, you know, you are part of our democracy and we will not allow anyone to say that your book should be burned. We also brought together the folks with 60 plus volunteers from this church for the We All Belong rally downtown on the 31st of October. We had our own worship service here in November about colorblindness and color muteness, and basically decided that our silence will not protect us. We must vocalize our discomfort with talking about race if we are to hope to transform and to live out our values. We also have a 6th and 7th grade program. I'm not sure if you, without kids, are aware that we have a part of our curriculum is about racial justice at the 6th and 7th grade level that dovetails with the neighboring faith curriculum where we learn our kids learn about other religions. It alternates years. We also have an interfaith youth group now growing. I'm late to a meeting for that soon here, so I got to get running. But again, most importantly is for us to turn out in force, please, for the March 13th event, and there are emails out there to you for you to volunteer. What we have learned in the Racial Diversity Task Force is that if Racial Diversity Task Force is examining what form, if any, to take in the near future, exploring our common future, perhaps with the Social Justice Committee, because what we've learned in the past 18 months is that first you use diversity and the relevance of our faith to this community and the world is inextricably bound up with how much we identify ourselves individually and collectively around us with those who are denied privilege, denied access to opportunity, denied health care, denied basic human rights, and denied justice. When we seek to align ourselves with the processes that must happen to transform our community, we will have created a place where all will want to call home. And we will have a proposal to the board before June as to what Racial Diversity Task Force will look like, and we hope and we welcome your suggestions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Lori?
Okay. Thank you.
And returning to the microphone, we have Gretchen Falstick to talk about COSM, another popular acronym, Committee on Shared Ministry.
Yes, I want to talk with you about the Committee on Shared Ministry. We have a newly reconstituted Committee on Shared Ministry as of this fiscal year, and there are six of us working with the roles that were laid out in this revision to the standing rules. I believe several members are here. I see Mark Pensino, and I believe Jenny Wimmeris is here. If you could stand so that people can see you. Yes. Yay. And we have three other members of the committee who could not be here. As you heard, Ray Nandiel is in India. That's a little far to come for a meeting. And Angie Gill and David Easter were unable to be here today. So there are six of us working on this. You have information in writing about the Committee on Shared Ministry. We've been charged really to be those who are stewards of First UU's mission and vision, and to be responsible for continual assessment of what we're doing around here and how effective we are in our shared ministries. You have lots of information about it. We looked at all of what you laid out for us and decided it was pretty daunting and that you must not have meant for us to do it all in 1 year. So with that in mind, we focused on this first year, educating ourselves about shared ministry and assessment, educating the congregation, strengthening our processes for addressing conflict, and developing processes for quality assessment. You have also a copy of the new conflict resolution policy. This is really an updating of the resolution guidelines that were in place before and moving them into policy format so that we can have them in the place where we keep our church documents. That also required that we revise in a very minor way the Covenant of Respectful Relations so that it now references the conflict resolution policy rather than the old resolution guidelines. In addition, though, we've started to take a look at assessment. We've recognized that while we have some things in place that are terrific, our mission and vision statements that people actually know and are referencing in making decisions, there are some areas where we still have some work to do. We need that strategic plan. We need to begin to lay out, working with professional and lay leadership together, the plans for what are we wanting to accomplish, what are our goals, so that we have a basis upon which to assess. But to get us started on looking at what assessment might be, Mark Pensino is going to offer us a few observations.
Thanks very much. I appreciate y'all being here on this late afternoon, and I do not want to be in between people and food, so I will be brief. One thing to note here is that part of our job on the committee is actually to hear how people feel things are going. So if you see any of us around and you'd like to talk about how things are going in the church in any way, that's kind of what we're here for. That's part of our job, and we're glad to do it. We're also trying to get across on something which is kind of, in a way, challenging, which reminds me in some ways of the old movie Groundhog Day. Whenever you're trying to do anything in this church, you find out that you ask the same old questions over and over again because nobody exactly knows what's happened. And it's like a fresh day to find out questions like, how many of us are there? How many of us are going to church in the morning? How are we doing overall? And so for that kind of stuff, we're actually going to be trying to assemble information like that, not only on some of the more obvious numbers, like, for example, pledge totals and Sunday morning attendance, but also on how many different people are using the building, how we're getting together, and how we're trying to sort of, how we're doing as a community, not in the sense of being prescribing, but rather in a sense of trying to figure out where we are and where we're going. This can actually be somewhat challenging. So, for example, it's actually quite hard to figure out how many members we have because that's something that we kind of let drift until we kind of notice that people are not with us anymore. And we can keep track of things like pledges. So as to give you a benchmark, there's been somewhere between 410 and 450 individuals and families who have been pledging in this church, and that number has actually not changed dramatically in the last decade. Since we had the new building and we kind of adjusted to a new level there. We have something between 340 and 380 people in the church attending the Sunday morning services. These numbers, again, have been reasonably fixed over the last 3 or 4 years. And so these are, in addition to these, we're going to be gathering other kinds of information. We're going to be trying to put this together, hopefully make it available to everybody. And as I mentioned, we also have the very key bit of assessment, which is how we're doing, and we'd be delighted to hear from y'all. Thank you.
Are there any questions of these two excellent presenters? Okay, thank you. I'm happy to announce for a meeting that started over 20 minutes late, we're all 7 minutes behind schedule, so thanks to those who have been presented, but don't feel you need to rush, and if you do have a question, don't hesitate to ask it. We're okay. Anita?
Hi, I'm Anita Bucknam, a member of the board, but I'm talking to you today as a member of the new Strategic Planning Committee. This is a committee that's just getting started. It was ordered by the board. We will have a better and more detailed version of my report for you in June. Hopefully we'll have accomplished a little bit more by then. At the moment, there are 3 board members on this committee, myself, Doug Rossiter, and Sarah Graffinino. We also have some non-board members. I can't tell you who those people are quite yet because they have to be approved by the board. What we see our job is, as the Strategic Planning Committee, is not making decisions for the congregation, but helping the congregation figure out where do we want to be 5 and 10 years from now? And of course, once we figure that out, then the hard part is how do we get there from here? We have already come up with what we call strands that are issues that we think we need to be looking at. Space, of course, will probably end up high on our list. Do we want to grow our physical plant? And if so, how can we accomplish that? If we don't decide we want to grow our physical plant, how can we deal with some of the physical space issues that we have? And I can tell some of you are thinking about parking issues, things like that. Another strand that we're probably going to be addressing is governance of the church. We are now a large church. Do we need to change anything about the role of the board, the role of the committees, how the committees are structured, those kinds of things? And a third strand, of course, is how to carry out our mission and vision, how to actually embody that work that we did when we created a mission and vision statement. These are some of the things that we have come up with ourselves on the committee. Again, we are not going to give you the answers, so we will be trying to get information from you as a congregation to figure out where the congregation wants to go. We're hoping to have a survey probably early next year, next church year, maybe do some listening sessions, et cetera. So you could already start thinking about top 10 things I'd like to see First UU accomplish, because that's what we're going to be asking you about. As you've probably heard from Stewardship Committee, Committee on Shared Ministry, our Strategic Planning Committee will be working very closely with those other committees. In a lot of ways, our duties overlap. We have already had one joint meeting with the Committee on Shared Ministry. We'll be doing that fairly frequently. And the survey, for example, that I mentioned will be done jointly with at least those two committees and maybe some others also. If you want to contact us for now, you can contact either myself, Doug, or Sarah. When we have our chairperson approved by the board, we'll let you know who that is and publish that, so you can also contact him or her directly. We also have a mailbox in the volunteer room, so if you have anything that you want to tell us now, you can go ahead and put a note in there, and we will get back to you. Questions?
This is a question that I brought with me. Regarding information sharing, it seems to me that that's one of the primary reasons or connections between the board and the strategic planning committee as it's being set up. But the board, the members of the board themselves that are on the strategic planning committee will bring first-person knowledge of what the board wishes to meetings, but the other people in the meetings will have to rely on secondhand knowledge and will be systematically less access to information. Do you think that that's a problem? If so, do you think there are many ways to address it?
I think I can answer your question. Well, first of all, once we get approved by the board, we will certainly publish when we have meetings, and anybody is welcome to come to those meetings. We will, as I said, we will be contacting as many of you as we can to find out what you want to do. I want to again emphasize, though, that we are not going to be carrying out decisions that the board once carried out, or even decisions that this committee makes. We are not the ones who are going to be making these decisions. Our job, as we see it, is to gather information from you all and have input from you. So anybody who wants to give us information, we will try to share as much information as we can with you. As I mentioned, we're going to be working very closely with all the other committees. So hopefully with all that sharing, some of these concerns will be allayed.
You mentioned the three strands, and one strand that you didn't mention that I'm hoping that we will be looking at long term is being fair share, because it has really limited our ability to have Mark have an intern minister. It's limited our ability to access benefits that are coming from the regional group of districts. We're part of Surge now, which is the Central East Regional Group. We had the opportunity to apply for a three-year grant for consulting services that would have been free to our congregation to really help us take these next steps, and we weren't able to get that grant because we are not fair share. And I would just really hope that that would be part of what we would lift up, because we are part of a larger community, and we are not fulfilling part of that commitment to that larger community. And there are people's salaries on the line just as much with UUA contributions as there are with our own internal pledge contributions to our staff here.
There's two parts to the answer to that. One is those strands were only the first ones that we came up with. The other one is that we did talk about that. The board has already decided that we want to move toward fair share. So we've already made that commitment as a board to try to get there. So once that commitment is made, it kind of comes off of the strategic planning committee's plate, because we've already made that commitment.
And our final, last but not least, agenda item is the very interesting concept that Michael will now share with you, the Care and Share Time Bank.
Thank you. It's always a challenge to be last when everybody's looking at the clock, so I'll be brief. Good afternoon. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to update you on a program that Alice Farina and I and several other members of the congregation, as well as some people outside the congregation, are developing. And this is called Care and Share Time Bank Central Ohio. It will be a new and additional part of our Community in Challenging Times project, which, as you know, is part of social justice, so we're a couple levels down. We believe it can be of value to all of us, but it will particularly help those of us who are experiencing difficulties brought about by our ongoing economic recession to improve our quality of life. A time bank is another tool we can use to build our beloved community. It encourages us to help each other, provides a reward that allows the helper, in turn, to obtain help, a form of paying it forward. It is a bartering system that allows individuals in a community of some sort living in relative proximity to exchange skills and services without the need for cash payment. The tools we will use are time dollars, with one time dollar representing approximately 1 hour of service. An hour of snow plowing is valued at the same as an hour of brain surgery. Any brain surgeons out there who'd like to be part of the program? Time dollars are exchanged through a simple web-based program. We earn time dollars by performing services and spend time dollars we have for services we want or need. There are many additional ways we can increase our stock of time dollars, such as volunteering for a particular organization. This program allows members to offer their useful skills to anyone else in the community and to earn access to other skills without any need to exchange hard currency. For someone with no or with limited income, access to services can be significantly increased. The IRS has declared that such exchanges are not counted as taxable income, which is a major advantage of such a system. The Care and Share Time Bank is already in operation, with a number of services already being offered and requested, and some time dollars have already been earned. In fact, we have several exchanges scheduled between our members at this time. Some of the services offered so far are foreign language conversation, graphic design, clothing alterations and mending, cooking and baking, business development, medical troubleshooting, handyman, shopping help, and several others. If you're interested in joining the Time Bank or in learning more about it, please see me or Alice after the meeting. I'll stick around for a while, and with my handy-dandy iPad, I can even get you registered while you're still here. There are Time Bank flyers available on the registration tables at the back of the sanctuary. Thank you very much. Any questions? And here's the flyer if you want to pick it up. Any questions? Thank you.
This is nice. Thank you. We're about to close the meeting. I don't want to have us leave without thanking those of you who attended and our sound crew, Al and Carl. I don't think we thank you guys enough for the work you do during church services as well as meetings. So thank you. And as I said at the last meeting, I'm constantly amazed with this massive, beautiful church that does such wonderful things. And it's not because we hire the best clergy and the best staff, although that's certainly a part of it. But the majority of what you heard today was from volunteers who bring their skills and their passion. And it makes my blood, course through my veins. It's really exciting to see such a variety of wonderful things going on. You should have all picked up a covenant of respectful relations. Do you have that? It's been suggested. I think it's a nice idea. It's got it's big print, so it'll go quickly, but this is a nice way to close the meeting today. So I'll start with the opening statement, and then we'll all read the bulleted items together. We build our church community on a foundation of love with the goal of promoting justice and peace. Toward this end, we covenant to do the following. Accept responsibility for my actions. Be receptive to connecting with others by listening with care and compassion. Speak my truth honestly and directly with care and compassion. Honor the confidentiality and private disclosures of others. Welcome new members and guests within this religious community. embrace our diversity as a source of communal strength, and accept and care for others despite our differences. Cherish the well-being of the congregation above my personal preferences. Remain engaged in the process with compassion and respect when conflict occurs, knowing that truth and sound decisions emerge from an open exchange of ideas. Use the conflict resolution policy when I believe the covenant has been broken. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday afternoon, and we'll see you, well, in church, but certainly at the next meeting in June.